Hi everyone, and welcome back to our chat about higher photography. So I'm Ruri, and I'm joined again by Sarah.
Hi everybody.
And in today's session, we're going to have a little bit of a chat about the project. What's your thoughts on the project, Sarah?
I love the project. I do. I just love it. It just, everything comes together and it's just fantastic.
You see that every day, 99.9% of the time really engages with it and wants to do well. We know that it's quite a chunk of the higher photography course. It's 100 marks. It's 77% of the candidate's overall mark. So it is really quite a significant part of their experience in higher photography. So I'm just going to give you a little bit about the structure. There are three sections to the project. We've got section one, and that is all based on planning, research, and investigation. 20 marks available for that. Section two is all about the candidate's photography work and engagement with that. So that's your development and production, with a massive 70 marks available for that. And then we've got the evaluation, which is split into two different sections, both worth 5 marks each, so 10 marks in total. So a total of 100 marks available.
So I think the weighting of the marks is really important to understand, because that massive section, the development and production, it's about their practice. It's about them actually taking photos and learning and using equipment and then reflecting on it.
And really interesting, because that wasn't always the way of it, was it? But actually, over the years, we're really seeing some huge steps forward in terms of, you know, the quality of planning that candidates are doing. No longer are we seeing plans that are just them telling us a story. They're starting to engage with the actual issues of their project, and that's the ones that do well, isn't it? It's where they're, because not every aspect of planning has the same relevance for every candidate's project. You might be doing a project that's about abandoned spaces, for example, so then like legalities and access becomes really important. I might be doing a portrait project based in the school studio, and it then maybe becomes less important. There's maybe still something there about, well, how do I get access to the studio in terms of booking it out and things like that, but it becomes weighted differently. And I think we're seeing a lot more where candidates are able to identify what's important for their project.
I think you're right. It's like the plan is like, it's like the what they're doing, but more and more we're seeing coming through the how. And I don't mean how in terms of approach, it's the how in terms of logistics. And when I'm teaching my pupils in school, I'm always like, if you're telling me at this point when you're writing your plan, I'm going to be photographing different models, you haven't actually planned it yet, I'm going to be going to different locations, great, do you know which ones? Because at this point you really should. And I can think we're seeing more of that sort of really precise planning coming through, and it's getting more definite. Like, they kind of do already know that they're going to be photographing this person at this time, because this person has the edge that they're looking for, and so we're seeing less narratives about, oh, I'm going to go, this is what I want to do in big flowery stories. And we're seeing more about how to do the actual project rather than approach the logistics.
So I always tell the pupils, it's, you're writing a recipe. Somebody else should be able to pick that up and know how to recreate that project.
Yeah.
And actually that becomes a really good peer reflection exercise, yes. You know, where they can almost kind of review each other's plans and provide a bit of feedback on, you know, so this is what I was expecting the outcome would look like, but you're telling me now that it should look like that. So where did I go missing? Because there's obviously instructions or information missing within that. And I think that kind of leads on, I guess, to, you know, it's that quality of planning influences everything else that comes after it. You know, so you think about there's 20 marks available for the kind of creativity of the yeah. final set of images. And what generally works well is where there's a kind of cohesive set. Not that they're repetitive, but like they work together. But you can only really achieve that if strong planning has taken place.
It's almost like thinking that comes before the planning. So yeah. when they're starting out their projects, I think, you know, we hear it being called reference, like things like the umbrella theme. What's yeah. the overriding theme? And it might be that they're going to do, right, I'm going to do baking mess. You know, I'm going to photograph lots of things to do with baking. I'll be like, right, okay, so you've got your umbrella theme, which is baking. And what does that look like? So give me like 10, 11 different unique ideas within the theme of baking.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, oh, I want to like photograph like the ingredients that you would put into a cake, you know, and they're on the table and like the egg's broken and it's all this that. And I'm like, okay. And then they'll say, oh, and then I want to like show someone like mixing the cake together.
They start to
visualize. And I think it's that pre-planning thinking that has to happen, because then when they go into their plan, they can be like, well, I know that I'm going to need this prop. I'm going to need to use this shutter speed to capture the flower as it drips down into the bowl.
I think you're hitting a really good point there. You're having this umbrella theme that's going to connect together all the ideas. And then it's about, right, so if we take the baking example, it's the creativity of, you know, how am I going to make these 8 ideas or however many they choose to do link together, but be different enough that I'm able to demonstrate my creative and technical competence. It's about, you know, making sure that, you know, they do understand that, you know, this shoot's all about shutter speed if it's relevant. This one's about me showing about focal length. It's relevant. And I think that's a really good way that I found to try and avoid that repetition, to really let the candidates showcase creative and technical skill. But I always would have to caveat that with, it's got to be relevant to the project. Yeah, it's the edit, isn't it? You know, we talk about that edit a lot, you know, in terms of, if it's relevant, great. If it's not relevant, doesn't mean to say that you don't necessarily still explore it. Do you include it in your final submission? Perhaps not. You want to make sure that everything's kind of leading through to that kind of outcome. And I think that's like an emerging strength that we're starting to see, that the projects themselves are becoming more condensed because candidates are editing what they put in. This bit wasn't relevant anymore. I don't need to have that because it's not going to add to my marks.
So they are looking at the scope of the potential of the project.
Yeah.
Under that umbrella theme, with all those different
avenues
that they can go down to create unique ideas which all link.
And I think that probably leads me on to, you know, a slightly different topic, which is, you know, templates for projects.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I'm delivering a project to a class of 20, I know that they're all going to have their different challenges or different demands. They'll need to have different emphasis on different areas. So I know that a template isn't going to suit all of them, or you know, if the template says you have to do 8 shoots or 6 shoots or whatever, But actually, their project is a great one about four really varied shoots, or, you know, 20 much smaller shoots or whatever, but if it's relevant to that project. And I think, you know, I don't know how you do it. I do projects on PowerPoint. So the only kind of guidance that I would say to them, they would have obviously the candidate instructions, but because they've done so many projects before, they know like the what a good project should look like, you know, in terms of planning, etc. But I think, you know, if I were to start to give them, you know, on this page you're going to have six pictures here, and it's going to become too restrictive for some of them as well.
I suppose in terms of what works for one might not work for all. So you could almost, if you take the, like within the what's it called, our the marking instructions for the for the project, there's loads of suggestions as to what could be covered. But like you're saying, it doesn't mean say they have to cover them all. It's not a checklist. Sometimes a checklist actually throws them off the scent of where they should be. And they're kind of trying to fit into this model, which, you know, isn't allowing them to maybe properly explore what they should be exploring.
I mean, so quite often it's going to be the school camera. It's the only one we've got, but it's about understanding the limitations of that as well, you know. So for example, it might be that you have only got my mobile phone, I'm not going to be able to do X, Y, and Z, or the camera that I've got only goes up to an aperture setting of 8. You know, so it's about how are we going to work within the confines of that. And I think, you know, you've touched on quite a few kind of key points there. For me, the one thing that really stands out is, you know, the planning, the research has got to inform the photography that that candidate takes. But where the, if the planning is too restrictive, i.e. let's say the candidate has decided they're going to do 8 shoots and there's 8 photographs in the research, how are they taking that and progressing it forward? That's my kind of thing that, you know, that I try to make that message really clear with my own pupils is, you know, take it as inspiration. I use the language springboard. So take that kind of that image and write springboard. How are you going to use that to come up with something that's yours? And I think that's really important, because it's that creative and technical authenticity as well.
And that's in our, that's in the marketing instructions, you know, the development and production. Yeah, you know, when you have a look at it and you've got your final 8 creativity, 20 marks are set aside for rewarding that candidate voice, that creativity. How well have they done with the project that they had? Have they achieved the potential? All that visual continuity with their development work. So if they've only got one picture and they've gone and come, like, you know, let's say like the baking one, and they're, and then you see a photo shoot, which is just a black studio, you know, low key lighting, and they're experimenting with shutter speed. Fair enough. But actually nothing else really changes. So they're just taking the same photo every time they take the photo. And they're not experimenting with, what if I tried, you know, cocoa powder? What if I tried dropping it? What if I moved the camera? What if I turned the camera from landscape orientation into portrait orientation? And I think that comes back to your research. How are they going to access these marks for their final 8 creativity? If their final 8 aren't actually showing their creativity, they're kind of taking somebody else's creativity and going, I just did what somebody else has already done.
And I think, you know, that maybe leads me on to another point, maybe kind of dipping back into that kind of initial planning stages, but it does kind of directly, you know, influence this part of it as well. Most delivery of higher photography is done in schools. There's some that's done in FE. You know, so for the most part, we're working with pupils that are, I don't know, 16 to 18, young people. we have to make sure that we have a professional responsibility to make sure that what our pupils are doing in class is age appropriate. Well, I know there's a box that we can tick on the SQA flyleaf, you know, when we send a project away. You know, that's one aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's again about just trying, you know, we have that responsibility as the adult in the room in terms of what's appropriate for them to be exploring. So it's something to be mindful of, and it comes back to that planning stage of the project to just make sure that it's relevant.
And it's about finding the path to that other thing sometimes. Because you know, even down to when it's not safeguarding and they want to photograph people, you know, and they want to do a model in the studio, and you can say, who have you got in mind to model? And actually, they just haven't thought it through.
We've so, all like, had those conversations, yeah, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. And sometimes they come up with fantastic solutions. I'm going to come in at lunch. We're going to do this. Great. But sometimes it's about actually kind of like putting the brakes on a little bit and going, well, hang on a minute. Yeah. Let's think about it.
Yeah.
Planning is important here. So how are we going to overcome this? What is our fallback plan? What's our obstacles likely to be? How are we working our way around it?
And that probably takes me on to evaluation of the project as well. So just as a reminder, it's two separate sections. We have 5 marks available for evaluating or for the candidate to evaluate the photographic practice.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that in a little second. And then there is 5 marks available for the candidate to evaluate their final prints.
Yeah.
So Sarah, if I was asked to ask you, what's the difference between the two, you know, in terms of like how you approach that with your students?
So the way that I advise that they approach it is that we do it as 2 separate pieces of work. Okay, so we'd actually evaluate practice and prints completely separately. Obviously, it's all still within the parameters, but it's done as 2 very much independent
headings.
You know, so it's clear that which is which. When they're doing practice, I always say to them, what did you learn? Tell me what your pivotal moments were. Tell me, you know, what did you look like as a photographer? How did you apply your learning, and what did you get from it? So like, what choices did they make? The impact of the choices. I don't need them to tell me about the pictures. I can see how your pictures got better. And you can maybe tap into that a little bit.
Yeah, and I would always say to them, it's think about themes. Don't tell me about necessarily individual circumstances, because let's face it, you've got your word count to fit into.
Yes.
You've got 5 marks. You don't need to tell me 5 different things to get 5 marks. It's about the quality of what you're telling me. So think about what themes are there that are consistent through your project. You know, so it might be how you really struggled with camera controls to get exposure, but you can see the growth and development and how you then managed that kind of issue for it to not become an issue at the end of it. So it's about those kind of maybe slightly broader themes. And another tip that I used to give the pupils was, you know, to help them try and keep their word count down, you know, because they would say, oh, in the picture of the hands clapping with the flower, you know, they've used up 20 words there to tell you which picture they're referring to or which shoot they're referring to. You know, probably more so for the next section of the evaluation, but put a little printed or a little copy of the image in and number them. So and shoot one, or the, you know, if we move on to the next section on photographic or final photographic prints, you know, an image, printed image one, and then they go on to make a comment. It can really help them manage their word count a bit better and be a bit more direct. So if photographic practice is about the them behind the photographs, the decisions that they've made, the lessons that have been learned, what are you then looking for the second 5 marks?
Yeah, I'm going to add to that practice bit as well. First is, I always think that time the marker reads the evaluation, they've seen everything.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't like when we, you know, we lay the work out and you're getting your eye over and you're having a quick flick through and you're finding that candidate intent and all the rest of it. By now, we've read everything. You know, we've seen everything. They need to. And I always think with practice, you need to spot what I've spotted.
Yeah.
You know, if I've spotted that you have absolutely nailed lighting control in the studio and that you have really understood low key or high key lighting,
yeah,
I need you to tell me that that is something that you have achieved. Likewise, if you haven't achieved it, you need to be able to kind of like articulate that. Because
yeah,
if I can see it, you should have been able to see it as the candidate. And I think that's maybe helpful. Practice, I think, is incredibly different to prints. So when you're looking at prints, imagine that you're kind of like you're holding the print in your hand. It's not about the actual content of the print. It's not about the composition of the picture, which is the best, you know, which is the bestly composed. It's actually about the print. And I think if you go to a gallery and you were to look in at a photographic exhibition, you're analysing the quality of the print. So, you know, what's the colour accuracy of in comparison to what it was like on the screen? So when you've got your prints and you're sat in front of them, and I, you know, I always encourage, have your print in your hand, have them on the table beside you. Did that yellow print to the same quality of yellow that you expected it to be? If not, tell me about it. Tell me that you can see that it's not right.
Yeah.
Tell me that you're really happy with the depth of red, that it hasn't got banding going through it, or it hasn't got, you know, fringing around the edges of a highly contrasting dark and light aspect of the picture. You know, so for me, it's like color accuracy, print versus screen, contrast, brightness, print accuracy, you know, against what I can see on the screen.
Resolution. Yeah, resolution's a big one, because if you think about it, you know, we some students, some new kind of candidates, pupils, will think, I want nice big pictures. I'm going to, I want them to be A4 in size. But actually, has the camera been set up in such a way that A4 is the best almost appropriate output for those images? But for me, you know, the it doesn't need to be, final prints don't need to be big. They need to be appropriate. Well, they need to be appropriate for the file size.
It's like actual size of the print. Is it the right actual size? Can you see the detail? Can you see that there's over? Yeah. Can you see that it's overstretched? You know, can you see that other things like paper quality and substrate and print finish? You know, are they happy with a matte effect if that's what they've gone for, or a lustre or gloss? Are they gutted now because they can suddenly see fingerprint marks?
Yeah.
Or do they think their blacks are printed with a bit of a purple goldy sheen? And I think it's about that for me, but for prints and things like your borders, have they added a border? Did they do that digitally? Did they do that by cutting it out and sticking it on a piece of paper? Did the glue wrinkle the paper when they were printing it? It's about that overall presentation of the print as well. And again, if I'm sitting there and this is the last thing that I'm looking at, if I can spot it, they should spot it.
Yeah. And I think you actually, you touched on a point there, which was also something I wanted to say, you know, about sticking the photographs down. If I'm marking a project, I want to be able to lay the pictures out, the prints out, I should say. You know, when I'm looking at the project, when I'm looking at the evaluation, rather than having to kind of, you know, it helps me see them as a set, I should say, rather than, you know, they might all be on their own individual page. And I think that is a really good approach for your pupils in the class, is, you know, that the images are loose. They can lay them out, they can look at them. I would just say, you know, the marker's exactly the same. It really helps them to look at that, the creativity and the theme of the images together.
And I think it just totally makes sense to have the finals loose. You know, they still need to be secure, because obviously we don't want them, you know, don't want to go missing. But
a little poly pocket.
So we can see them.
And I think, you know, just in, you know, we'll kind of draw this session to a close. But I think for me, one of the kind of key messages is this is about quality rather than quantity across the project. And we've spoken about that editing process that you want your pupils to do. They might, something might have been relevant at the time, but actually by the time they've finished a project, one of the shoots actually is irrelevant. They tried something different, but it wasn't relevant to where they were going. They don't need to include it in the final submission. So that is a skill in itself, you know, being able to, for them to be able to do that. But it's an important one, because you want that thread of relevance to be going through the project. And then it's, you know, it's almost where you get, you find something, oh, what's that doing there? Why is that there? And there's no reference to it anywhere. It starts to then kind of throw you a little bit. So there should be that kind of golden thread running through where everything's kind of purposeful, shall we say, purposeful exploration. That's a good.
Yeah, definitely. Magic.
Okay, so that is the project. Sarah, thank you so much for your input. And thanks for listening.